Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to Mestizo Part 3. My favorite part of his interview was talking about his new traditional Filipino tribal tattoo that he has on his neck and his lower chin and face area, as well as talking about him raising his three beautiful, healthy boys. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Special guest tonight. Please welcome back for the third time on the podcast, musician, rapper, producer, and barber, the homeboy Mestizo.
What's up?
What's up?
Not much.
Not much.
Bro.
Bro.
Seriously?
Seriously.
You gonna do this whole show?
You gonna do this whole show?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I can't with this
I
right
can't
now.
With this right now.
Bro, oh
my God!
Are you serious right now? I'm gonna beat your ass.
I'm gonna beat your ass.
Oh, bro. All right.
Welcome back, folks. Man, it's been a minute.
It's been a long time.
And you've been busy, man. You're you got three healthy boys. You just did a song with Slug from Atmosphere.
Oh, we weren't supposed to talk about that, but yeah. Thanks, bro. Yes, I did. Thank you. Appreciate that.
But maybe you didn't.
Maybe it's a Slug from another group.
Maybe it's Slug from Wisconsin. Man. But you have been doing a lot of music.
I have been doing a lot of music, yeah.
Dude, can we talk about this, man?
Yeah.
Because this is like, this flavor, man. Once I start vaping, I was experimenting with like Blue Raz, Lemonade, Tutti Frutti, whatever.
So I don't support smoking nicotine. I'm actually trying to quit smoking nicotine.
Okay, but let's just.
But I do mint tobacco is probably the best. BC 5000.
You got
this
me.
Company.
Yeah, this is
don't
the
blame
one.
Me for that.
Yeah,
shit.
And what about that dude today at the smoke shop? Tell him what happened.
you tell him. That's a. Well, you,
okay,
you tell
so
him better.
So I go to the local. I'm not gonna tell which one, but the local one, and I ask for. I'm like, do you have this mint tobacco one? And he goes, it's sold out. I go, what do you mean? He goes, oh, so you're the one that's been buying them? I'm like, yeah. And then you know what he said? He goes, I bought the last three. I'm
like, oh, what'd he look like?
He's an Indian guy. That doesn't matter. It's not about the race. He's an Indian guy, but it's not about the
they're
race.
Tough,
but the,
man.
But
they're
the way
tough.
He said it, his energy was a little kind of mean, wasn't it? A little bit.
Yeah, he was a dick.
And then I bought this on a whim. Orange creamsicle. $29. And I hate it.
Why would you buy anything that's orange creamsicle? I won't even buy popsicles that are orange creamsicle.
You don't like shakes that are orange creamsicle?
No, I don't like it. It's a terrible taste. Citrus and sweet?
Remember you, me, and Gabs went to Cantor's, and what did we get? Orange creamsicle shake.
If I'm smoking something, it's got to be robust. Mm-hmm. It has to have a man flavor to it.
Like, this is manly.
Yeah, this is manly. I mean, it looks not manly.
But it tastes.
It's peach. It's peach colored.
It's peach colored.
I don't know. I mean, no, you can't assign a color to a gender, right?
But you know what? It reminds me of a Black and Mild, but a little bit milder. Remember Black and Mild?
It's like a mixture of Black and Mild and Newport.
And a Newport. Exactly. So this is like...
Newports were my first cigarettes.
The OG's Elf Bar, though, right? The Elf Bar.
I don't know, man. I don't know shit about vaping. I blame my brother-in-law.
So your brother-in-law hipped you to these?
Yeah.
These are hard to come. So you get them online?
No, I get them at a little shop. Okay. This shop where the guy who, I don't, maybe it's just a vape thing, but he's a dick too. Mm-hmm. But he's like a dude from New York. And he just like, what do you want? You don't want the mint tobacco. Dude. All right, 15, cuz.
Oh, he's like that?
Yeah. He's a dick. He's aggressive. Yeah.
Dude, you look majestic with your nose. Like, how did that, this whole experience, this just happened?
How did it feel?
Yeah.
Didn't feel like anything. It was until it got to about my lip, then it started to hurt a little bit.
You didn't feel any of this?
Mm-mm. No.
Can we give a shout out to the artist set?
Shout out to Mara at Electric Gold in St. Pete. She did everything freehand too. Yeah, so this is, you know, this is all Filipino tribe.
Yeah.
My grandmother's from the area this work is from.
Oh, so that's...
Yeah, this is our headhunter tribe.
From a designated spot.
The Eagle Rod tribe. The Eagle Rod tribe. Shouts to the Visayans. Shouts to the Kalinga. The oldest tattooer in the world is from this area. She's 107. Her name's Wangad.
She's Asian? Fucking,
yeah, she's Filipino. Damn. She looks like a little Lola. She still walks around, drinks, smokes. There's like a viral video going around with some dude that she tattooed, probably some English dude or something. She's grabbing his balls. she's gangster. You seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she goes, oh.
How did she learn her craft?
Well, she does the tap. So, but
she
talk,
does the
yeah,
old
yeah,
school
yeah, talk, talk. Yeah, boom, boom, boom. I want to get it done. Hopefully, she doesn't pass away.
So, what's her rate? Like, does she work for a tattoo shop or is she?
No, she's in the village, bro. She's still in the village. Yeah,
she's in.
You have to go to her village to get it done. They say some prayers. They do a ceremony.
Yeah.
I forget what it is, but the needles are from, they're either from a tree or a bone. I can't remember what, but it's pretty special, man.
So even the ink is special.
Even the ink is special.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it from like a tusk of an animal, like?
I don't know.
Dang.
I don't know. I know it's got to be some sort of like charcoal or something like that. I don't know.
So how time consuming do you think that is to do like
tap? You know, like a tattoo gun probably. I don't know. What's it like? 100 hits a second or something like that.
So this would be like if this was the thing, it would be like kind of like.
Hers is more like tap 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 tap, but you know the. You hear the gun, the tattoo gun going zzzz. We'll probably get corrected for this.
Yeah. Damn. So that's an ancient. Do you think is that the most ancient way of tattooing? Is the tapping?
Probably.
Yeah.
It has to be. There's no machines. There wasn't electricity back then.
Now, what has the response been like? Because
it's been cool.
It's
shocking to some people. I mean, you know, I'm a barber.
Yeah.
And I cut a lot of really wealthy. Older Caucasian gentlemen that are just like thrown off at first, but you know, then I smile at them, you know? My boss said it was aggressive. It is aggressive.
He said aggressive.
Yeah, he said, wow, I like it. It's aggressive. Yeah, yeah.
But what if someone didn't know you and they just saw you? They wouldn't.
I've had a lot of people talk to me about it and go, wow, that's beautiful work, man.
Oh, okay. So it's been positive for the most part.
Been positive.
Yeah.
It's not like I got a big fuck you on my face.
No, because it's definitely. It has class. It's like
it's well designed.
Yeah, it's well designed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like how would you describe that particular like the different.
So in the middle
design
in the middle it. Like where the diamonds are at. That's the black and white represents day and night. You know my interpretation of it. Yeah, it all has meaning. Day and night. My interpretation of it is like the balance of life, light and dark. Mm-hmm. Good and evil, that kind of shit.
Like a yin and the yang.
Yin and yang. Mm-hmm. And then on the outside, where the snake skin's at, that's for protection. The house is in the middle. It's for praying for the people.
Oh, so there's the whole thing has meaning.
It all has meaning. Oh, it's a story that gets tied together.
Wow.
Usually you don't pick it, and I let Mara pick it, and shouts to Mara. She's fucking incredible. So if you ever end up in St. Pete, which probably will, because a lot of people are going
there. St. Pete, Florida. Yeah,
I'm on the south side, baby. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how do they get a hold of her? I mean, she'll probably watch. Like, Electric she'll probably gold watch tattoo. This, right?
Actually, the owner, she's the co-owner, and the other owner's Filipino too. That's I wanted to get tattooed by him, but you know.
Would you get
Ariel.
Mad if I got the duplicate tattoo? The
exact... You have it. What? You have it. That's basically how she would draw it on your skin.
Like this?
And then tattoo freehand over it.
It looks pretty good on me though, right?
The mustache, yeah.
No,
you should try and grab the.
I'm talking about the.
Aren't you thinking of getting a? You're gonna get a neck tattoo, right?
I was thinking about it.
What are you thinking of getting?
You told me that you cracked me up today before we started. You like you should get a frog. You should keep one of your frogs. One of my door frogs. I'm like, I ain't getting a frog, dude. I want it to be tough.
What are you gonna get it?
I already have like geeky tattoos.
What tattoos do you have?
I got an Ewok. See. I got a tape. I got a honey badger. I got an owl. I got a crane.
Wait, why
I
do
got,
you have?
I got animals.
Wait, why? Wait a second. Turn that arm over. Why do you have a pair of scissors on your...
Oh, scissor bros.
You don't cut hair.
I know, scissor bros.
Oh, okay. Scissor bros.
Yeah, I lost a challenge. So yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And what is it? That's a goose on there? A duck?
It's a crane.
Looks like a goose.
Well, you know, I have all animals, dude. You know? I need something to...
I like the cat. The cat's cool.
You do?
Yeah.
I need an equalizer. Like, what was the most painful tattoo you've gotten?
I can't show you that one.
Where is it located?
In a place that I'll never show you. No, just kidding. Hey, the bicep, inner bicep.
Oh, does that hurt? Like,
it hurts, yeah.
Like, wait, which side?
Like, inside of your bicep.
Oh, inside of your
bicep. Inside of
your
bicep.
What about right here on your chest? Does that hurt getting?
I don't know. Tattoos don't really hurt. They're annoying, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they can be annoying in certain spots.
Were you tattooed when I first met you? Like, people know our history.
Don't
like,
you remember my tattoo? Oh, first
you had
tattoo
the vigil.
That was from a homie that just got out of prison, and he was like, hey, I'll tattoo you for some money. And I was like, I got like
dude,
a dub sack.
Four,
I had a 20. 14, yeah,
14,
yeah,
15 years
14.
Old.
And I was like, I got some weed. You know, he's like,
dude, that's
all right,
I'll
take it.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's a bad tattoo. It's not good. It's blown out, not connected. It's terrible.
So, but that's, look, can we talk about your Bay Area roots? Because that's.
Didn't
like,
we talk about, we've done three about, episodes
we've done
now.
Three.
How about this? Why don't we talk about our hazy.
All right, well, obviously, I'm sober.
Yeah, and I am, too.
This. I haven't drinking a beer-flavored thing in 16 years.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned something how, oh, there's non-alcoholic beers and IPAs. I'm like, really? And I was just, like, paranoid at first. Like, are you sure there's, like, not, like, 0.2% alcohol? And you're like, no, dude, this is... And so, yeah, and so cheers.
Salud.
This is completely non-alcoholic. And Chelsea's drinking one, too.
It's
do you like
tasty.
It?
It's really good.
Dude,
Citrus
this,
hazy IPA from San Diego.
And this reminds me of, like, the AZ days.
Yeah.
When we had money and we'd get the Sierra Nevada stouts.
Oh,
the green,
yeah.
Like,
those are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, dude. I haven't... I miss the taste of beer.
I do, too.
Without the effects that
of
beer
alcohol.
Produces. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's important to... Also, when you get sober, to keep your social status as well and socialize.
Not to be
you know
weird
I mean?
like a
yeah,
hermit.
Yeah, not
like anti-everything.
I got to quit everything, so I got to quit going out, even the bars. It's like, you know, you can gain willpower by going to bars. And also, it's like a good deterrent from actually drinking because you feel like you're a part of the action, you know?
Yeah, and then you're getting the taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern was, because I told you, I'm like, oh, dude, like if I drink... Like an O'Doul's or anything like a non-alcoholic beer, the phenomenon of craving might kick in, and that was my fear, but it didn't.
It doesn't.
Well, it didn't.
It fills the trick. I mean, it does the trick, but it's like, I do want beer sometimes, and I'm like, fuck, I wish I could just go out and get fucked up, you know? So, but I'm like, I reach for one of these and I'll drink two, and I feel like I'm like, nah, I don't want to do anything anymore, you know.
And then it satisfies.
Nothing wrong with getting fucked up, but for me, it fucks up everything. My physical workouts, it fucks up my day when I'm working all day. It fucks up my attention span for my kids. It just, there's no positive to it for me, other than
talk about you being a father and
you weren't
that far ahead. Like last episode, I don't think, did you have kids? Maybe one.
Yeah, no, I had all three.
You had all three back then?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, when was the last one? So I had two. But I have three. Yeah.
So
three sons.
To all the young fathers, like how do you manage to balance your time and time management?
It's not
raising
easy.
Raising these kids, like how, so, do you have any like a piece of, you were giving me some words of wisdom earlier about like, cause I'm like, oh man, like, cause I'm getting older, dude. I want a kid one day.
To me, it's like the most, important part of being a human being that you could take responsibility for another human being, you know? It's like being a father or a mother or any kind of parent or a grandmother raising a kid, like, it's the hardest job in the world. You never have a harder job. So, like, it's understandable when people don't want to have kids, especially this new generation. They're like, not for kids, not for marriage, not for tradition. But the way I look at it.
You've talked to some of the youngsters, and their attitude's different then.
Oh, yeah, dude. Back in the day, remember, like, when we were raised, it was like the sophisticated thing to do would be get a job, get married, have kids. And like, no, we looked at that like, fuck that shit. We're rebels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can still be a rebel and have kids, you know? It's like, everybody always complains about the world in this generation, but it's like, if you raise your kids right, you're adding to society and to the elevation of humanity, you know?
And
what
you
I
mentioned
mean?
Something about discipline.
Oh, discipline.
Because I asked you today when we're eating, I go, hey, do you spank your kids? You're like, you said sometimes when it's needed, but I don't.
It's a pop. You know what I mean? Just like.
You mentioned, you gave an analogy. You said similar to, was it a spider or a snake?
No, like a dog nipping you. Like when a dog
snaps at you.
Doesn't bite you, but nips you to warn you, like, yo.
Just to keep you on point.
Snap you out of it. You know what I mean?
So give me a hypothetical of. What would do that? What would trigger that for you?
It has to be a lot because it doesn't happen. It pretty much happens never. But if it ever did happen.
So what if they poured paint? Like if they accidentally.
No,
the paint,
I mean, that's just part of being a kid. You can't have high expectations for kids because
like
they're just going to be kids.
What if
you
pooed in his brother's bed? Like he pooed.
I mean,
in.
I've had my kids shit in the front yard before,
like,
you know?
You said something in the bathtub too, right?
Oh, yeah. Shitting in the bathtub too. Yeah, shoving it down there.
That's different.
That's different. Yeah, but it's like.
But have you. Be honest.
No, it's not something like that.
You asked me if I've done it.
You shit in the bathroom before?
I have.
I mean, in the bathtub?
I have taken a shower.
Why?
Because I don't like taking a shower. And then, you know, after you shower and you soap up and shampoo and you're like, damn, I got to take a shit.
You take a shower after you soap up? I mean, you take a shit after you?
I did it a few times where I'm in the shower.
Were you drunk?
No.
Then what was? Why would you logically do that?
I don't know. Laziness?
And then what happens to it?
Dude, we might have to wait. Timestamp this part, possibly timestamp it. I squeezed real hard and I cupped. So I squeezed and I cupped it and I grabbed the meatball and then I grabbed it and the hot water's going. And so, God, dude, this is gross. And so, but it won't go down because it's like solid, right? And so. I have to break it. I break down the poop.
Those holes are really little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
how long does it take you to
so
push
it's
that through?
It's like the Filipino lady doing the tattoo.
That's like a
yeah. So I go like
it's like a garlic press.
Yeah. So with my finger, I go like, and then after I'm done
with one finger.
Yeah, with one finger. No, maybe two. Maybe I go like this, and then I take soap and I. Yeah, then it's done.
Dude, I'm trying to make sense of this, and I don't know how we got on this subject
at
all.
Man, I don't know. That's kind of gross. Right? It's honest.
I can't say.
But I understand. Your kids are kids, man. I'm like almost 50.
I mean, I can't say I haven't like, you know, some.
Yeah, but you've never done it?
No, never in the bathtub, just no. I couldn't make it to a.
Just say you have.
I have never.
But I don't want to be the only one. I feel alone now.
I've done it before.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude, here comes those cramps.
Oh, dude. That's what getting old gets you, man.
What, the cramp? Like, you ever get, like, pain sick right here? Oh, dude.
No, I stretch every day.
You do. Yeah. You're in good shape, dude.
Morning to night.
Dude, yeah. You're in real good shape for your age, bro.
I wake up at 5 every
morning. Let's talk about your regimen. Let's talk about it.
I wake up at 5 every morning. I get my coffee.
Yeah.
Take a shit.
Yeah.
Don't eat my breakfast. I work out in the morning pretty hard, and I earn my breakfast. I kind of use the analogy that you should be earning your food as a man or a human. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You shouldn't just wake up and eat. You should work out.
Do you have a special diet? Are you like on?
Not really, but I've been eating really clean. You know,
like what's clean? Like just like whole foods, salads,
grass fed organic beef,
chicken breast.
No, grass fed organic beef, rice, of course. Every day is rice, vegetables, shit like that.
Broccoli and stuff.
Not really. Some vegetables kind of fuck my stomach up. So probably mainly like asparagus. Lots of fruit.
What do your kids eat, man? Don't they
same thing. They eat the same thing. Yeah. My 9-year-old could cook. I've shown them all how to use a knife and how to properly cut and protect their fingers with the bear claw. Right. You know?
Dude, I trip out like when you get old, you're going to have 3 soldiers. Like, you got your own like army now. You talked about that too. Is that leaving a legacy? It serves a purpose. Like your life has a purpose now because you're.
Leaving. I feel like I'm okay to die. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not gonna be regretting shit when I die, even if it's like.
Even it happened like.
If I didn't meet the goals that I met, like at least I have my kids that I left behind, and I passed all that knowledge and wisdom down to them, and so I don't really die. I exist within them.
Yeah.
And if they choose to have kids. That exists. That's just why tradition and relatives are so important in the world. I think we lost touch with that. You know,
were they all like, planned? Did you plan to have all 3 at that particular time?
None of them were planned. I'm just a baby. I'm a baby maker, bro. That's just how it goes. You know.
You got some strong
seeds. Salute. But yeah, that's why I'm saying is like that kind of stuff. Passing those traditions down is important. You know, especially like. I feel like we're responsible to a certain extent to continue on with those traditions, especially Latinos, Asians, you know, supposed to continue on those kind of traditions, you know. That's why tradition is so strong within our cultures.
And I noticed too, your kids like they didn't want pizza because remember when I was out there, I'm like, you
no,
guys
they
want
like,
pizza?
They like Filipino food a lot.
They
bro.
Wanted ramen. They're like,
or
no,
sushi.
We want udon
remember,
ramen.
Kyle was like, I want sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's what he wants.
Because most kids, you know, that's a
yeah, they want American
food.
Due
to you.
Yeah, my kids don't. Well, I don't really like American food other than McDonald's when I'm drunk, you know.
And boy, did we go have an experience there in the drive.
McDonald's is pretty good, though. It's consistent, at least.
I haven't had it in a grip. And when I went to visit you, you kind of pushed it on me. You're like,
did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did a little.
It was good. It's a guilty pleasure.
I saw it in your eyes, though. I saw like.
Well, you know how banchan. You had banchan before?
Yeah, banchan. Yeah.
Not within Korean food. Oh, banchan, the fried chicken spot.
Oh no! I thought you meant banchan.
No, there's a banchan in New York, one in Philly, and I think there's one here. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But they batter their wings like chicken nuggets, so it's a. Thick batter on a wing. Oh, dude, it's so good. And the sauce they put on there is a Korean sauce. It's fucking
you think
banging.
McDonald's has upped their game since like the 80s, 90s, and like early 2000s?
It's one of the healthiest fast food spots.
McDonald's?
Yeah.
It used to be, dude.
It used to be the worst.
Dude, their Big Macs. Like,
Burger King, I think, is the worst. Taco
dude,
Bell's
I'm
up there.
I'm telling you, I had a Big Mac once, and the patty was, there was green stuff in the patty. I'm like, dude, yeah. This was AZ in Arizona. So they've improved since then.
I mean, there's only 4 major companies
that do the
produce all the meat. So of course, like the quality control can be overseen by only a few, rather than like I don't know that's kind of a positive, but it's not a positive that they own all the meat.
Oh, you know, I'm just you know. I get paranoid about that. But I enjoyed it. What do we have, like a quarter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking a risk. You take a risk when you eat fast food, for sure.
But In-N-Out's always good. But In-N-Out's always good to me.
Yeah, but they have quality control. I heard something crazy. Like, there has to be a distribution center within a certain amount of miles to keep the quality. Yeah, that's why you can't open up In-N-Outs in every state.
And there, they don't. There's no freezers. Nothing's frozen. Everything's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like Whataburger. Remember when I worked at Whataburger?
Who's that one guy that like he White Lightning? Was there
DJ White Lightning?
No. There was a guy there that he was cool to us, but he was kind of like a hip hop dude, but he was like a doughy kind of older man.
I think it was
when me and Strange used to go in there. But
those
days
are a blur to me. Yeah. I was doing so much acid back then.
We both were, right?
A lot. All the time. I can't remember when I didn't do it. It opened up my mind a lot, man.
What, doing LSD?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was an angry fucking, kid. I was a mean kid.
Yeah.
And then I started taking acid with hippies, and I was like, wow, people
could
be cool.
We go to raves, too. And
lots of raves, dude.
Yeah.
How crazy is it? The festival scene now is insane.
Well, how different is it?
Huge, man. It's like hundreds of thousands. Remember when we were going to raves? It was like 5,000 kids in the woods or 5,000 kids in a warehouse or 10,000 at the most. But now it's like fucking insane. Now.
I just remember candy flipping or being on a tab of acid and something else and just being in the jungle room and just vibing out in there.
Yeah, dude.
We used to
MC those parties. Remember when we did that battle?
Oh, yeah. Who's that guy? That was over jungle, right? What was his name? Skyler
Bike.
Yeah, Skyler.
He lives out here now.
Really?
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. He's just competitive.
Yeah, those were the days, man.
Those were the days.
Yeah, tell him, like, it's before even, like, the hip-hop, the underground shit, you were into, like, you were rapping over jungle.
Before jungle, I was doing nothing but, like, East Oakland gangster rap shit, you know, or, like, mob rap.
Yeah.
You know, coming from the Bay. And then when I hit Phoenix,
that's just coming back now with, like, Suicide Boy. Like, don't they kind of
rap? Dude, there's a track right now that just got, like, platinum. It's called Baradon by Chase and Status, and these dudes are rapping on it like crazy. It's wild, like some old jungle shit, you know?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And where are these cats from?
London.
Really?
Yeah, the original guys, yeah.
But you learned that from Oakland, right? Like, that style.
That style of jungle. No. I learned all that from, like, Kip and all the Rough Something guys.
Really?
Kip Killigan, yeah.
Oh, yeah, as far as the jungle.
The jungle shit.
Okay.
No, when I was coming up, I learned that from all the Bay dudes, man. I mean, everybody in my circle was rapping, so
damn. Like any artists in particular? Like, well, obviously Too Short.
No, some of them were connected to, like, San Quentin, like cousins of San Quentin, JT the Bigger Figure, all the, like, old Bay heads. Yeah,
right. And then what about what's that guy, Sugar Free and all that?
He's from here, Pomona. Sugar Free's from Pomona. Yeah, he's from Pomona. He's tight too.
But when did you get into, like, the underground? Like, we got into that, like,
Brian and all them kids introduced me to him, man. Rasal and RJ and all those guys. And that's, like, it kind of, actually, AJ showed me, Carlos Clean Sweet showed me Company Flow. And Company Flow blew my fucking mind. I was like, fuck?
And
I never heard anybody. It's funny because I got a friend whose son raps, and he just told me, he was like, hey, man, can you come over and talk to my son? Because he's talking about rapping about bitches and clubs and drugs, and he's 12. He's never been in a club in his life, and he's not going after bitches, and he's not doing drugs. So could you kind of expand his vocabulary a little bit for me? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, man. I was there, too.
When you're young,
you don't know any better. You know what I mean?
But when you listen to, like, there were Indelible MCs for, like, Indelible, then.
Yeah, that's when I started to look at the wordplay as a real craft and art, you know, like, you know, different strokes of a brush on a canvas. You can move the same way with words, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Intricate. You got to nerd out on it. That's why, like, this underground shit isn't for everybody. It's for thinkers.
For nerdy
and
dudes,
people that want more intelligent
wordplay
out of their art.
Whether it's, like, rhyme styles.
Rhyme styles,
like
syllables.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you can harmonize with it. There's just endless amounts of things that you can do with rhymes. That's why when you hear somebody doing something the same as somebody else and they're all doing it on the same cadence, same timing, that shit gets boring for me. you know.
You see that happening right now? Is there a trend like that? Like
no, you see you see a lot of people expanding. You know what I mean?
But like, nowadays you do?
Yeah, because like the homie Billy Woods is getting big as hell right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you mentioned that. He's getting who's big. The other guy? Siegel or Kenny? Is it Kenny Siegel?
No, Kenny Siegel's his producer. Kenny's from here. Kenny used to come to all the beat battles.
Yeah, reach out to him. I need to reach out to
him. He was part of
again.
The low-end crew and
okay,
all
okay,
that.
Okay.
You know, he was around when you know, Lotus was coming, Flying Lotus was coming up, and mm-hmm. Gaslamp and all them guys.
Yeah, he was around.
But Billy's an old East Coast head, and he was part of that whole East Coast movement with Vortal and Cannibal Ox.
Oh, from
dudes.
The East Coast.
Yeah, he's been around for a while, but it's like so now he's making such an impact. He's curating the scene right now, man. I got so much love and respect for that dude. He's a good dude.
He is. So he's
a good dude. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, silently, you know, behind the scenes.
He's not like boastfully doing.
No. Yeah, he wears a mask. So you can't even see his face.
Really?
You know?
So
yeah.
It's like some MF Doom. Like
yeah. His shit is good. The new record he did with Kenny Maps is a fucking work of art.
Yeah,
man.
You know you met that got some good reviews, right? Like
yeah.
I gotta get that dude. That he's got. I wanna interview one of them dudes.
You should.
I reached out to one of them and we were going back and forth, but I think he went on tour. Like he had to do something.
You catch him in L.A. He'll probably come out, man. He's true to the underground, man.
And people don't know. I don't know if we talked about this. Like you were there before Odd Future was even a thing.
I think we touched on it a little bit, but yeah, for sure. I mean, they were like my interns, you know. But they were my little homies first.
How old were they when?
About 14. Earl was 14. Tyler might have been. Yeah, maybe Earl was 13 and Tyler was 14. Yeah, they were youngsters back then. Haji, all them kids, man.
And they all skated and they just come by.
Yeah,
the
they're good skaters.
Oh,
too,
I know.
Man.
I've seen them.
They put their all
they,
into
they
can tra- it.
They trade flip and shit. Yeah, they cruise around. Yeah,
they're flat ground for sure.
And they're with the Supreme dude. Like they do, they skate with.
See
that
was
pros and shit too.
They wanted to be down with the Supreme dudes,
but
you know how Supreme is.
Yeah, but I see him hanging out with certain dudes on
now. Yeah, for sure. Before they didn't. That's why they were at Fresh Jive. You know what I mean?
So that's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. You know, Tyler.
They fucking skateboard. They're just that's so hip to like.
Tyler asked me to be his tour manager, and I was like, nah, I don't think I want to do it. I didn't know how big they were going to get, to be honest.
Oh, before they got the deal?
Yeah, because they, you know, when they were doing their first shit, I got the original CD that Tyler put out, Bastard, and he handed it to me.
Handed me Goblin, didn't you? Didn't you hand me?
No.
You handed me a CDR or something.
That's
though,
Bastard, yeah. That was probably, I probably
gave you
that.
And there was a sticker on it. It was a CDR.
Something like that. Yeah. He's evolving as an artist too, man. I love seeing him evolve. He's
Earl
you know,
too, right?
He's musical, man. The kid can play instruments and write, and he's sober too.
Really?
Never drank in his life. He doesn't do anything.
Dude, he like if you go in Amoeba right now, and you go like top selling album, you'll see like his album like up there.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Earl's new album with Alchemist is fucking phenomenal, man.
Have you met Alchemist?
I have, a few times. We were kicking it at a Cannabis versus Disaster battle where Disaster just fucking murdered him. Yeah.
So what was that like? What was that night like? Because
it
we
was
look,
tense, man. Because
well, we looked up to Cannabis.
This was ripping him so bad.
No, his album. We used to bump like get retarded.
Yeah. Pull the mic from your arm. Call Minister Farrakhan.
Yeah.
I loved Cannabis back in the day, but he's not. He got into a world that he wasn't ready for. The battle rap scene's much different.
It's almost
the way
like he entered like the MMA gym.
He ended up pulling his writing book out and spit it from the page, and we were all like, "What the fuck?" He was not prepared for this. He was just getting ripped so hard, and none of his lines were hitting. You know, that doesn't make him a bad MC.
It seemed like there's so much material that he had to remember, and he got like it was just overload, like he couldn't remember all of it. Like
I think the crowd was starting to turn against him too. You know, he's not a battle MC. Like he can on paper,
but he can write good songs
on paper and on recording. He's a battle MC, but when it came to that format and that platform, he wasn't ready for it. You know,
because it's different now, right? Like they come prepared, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, those guys do it for a living.
How much do they get paid, those dudes?
Some of those guys are getting paid a lot. At least I haven't checked up on it and. but fucking years.
But like 20, 30, 40.
But when I was there, they were getting like 30 grand for those big battles. Yeah, because YouTube was paying money for that stuff. Wow. They're getting millions of hits.
So
all
the monetization.
The monetization, yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
Sponsors, yeah. The door, all of it. They made good money.
Let's talk about your music, though. Forget about that. I want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it's been coming slowly but surely. I've been taking my time with this new record, you know. This the last installment to this three series I was doing. It was like past, present, and future. And I did the It Is What It Is. It Was What It Was. It Is What It Is was the present. It Was What It Was the past. And It Will Be What It Will Be is the new one. So now that you let the cat out the bag. Yeah, I produced most of it, but Scott Metallic's got a beat on there. I think the rest of it is all me. Yeah, Scott Metallic's got three beats. Scott Metallic's the man, dude. He produced for a lot of people. Soul, when Soul's first album came out. He's a monster producer. He's in that same vein as fucking Meaty and Controller 7.
Is Soul
7.
Still around from Anticon, right? Is he still around?
I think so. He had a kid and moved to Maine and started like a little co-op, I
That's
think.
Cool. That's yeah, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Soul's cool as fuck, man. Shouts to Soul.
And then shout out to Dose, too.
Shout out to my brother, yeah, man. Dose has some shit coming that I can't talk about, but boy, it's going to be.
Yo, you
big.
Introduced me to him. I met him in New Mexico. I met him. You linked me up with him when Monchi was doing something. He was working at Something Wolf. Meow. Was that
Meow Wolf?
Yeah. And he was.
Dose never stops working. He's like a workaholic.
Oh, no,
man.
No. He was working, but then, like. I got to meet him, and
he's
he
a good
super
dude.
Cool. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
He's a good human being, man. One of the best.
So when did you link up, like, when did y'all link up, like, on that tip, like, where you did a whole project with Dose?
Well, I met him back when I was battling, when I was 15. Remember, we were doing those shows at Nita's Hideaway? We were all battling.
And then that's when he brought out
He
Quell.
Did the damn show with Jell. It was Jell and Dose. And
she's like, oh. She's like, oh, you're writing all this stuff down? Yeah. Yeah, you got me into the Anticon, dude. Like, I just remember the sticker, and then I knew a couple things.
They pushed through a lot of judgment. And they just broke boundaries. And I think that judgment that was placed on them so much when they moved to the West Coast, because, you know, everybody out here, they're like, oh, you coming here, and you think you're going to get into this scene, and you think you're just biting our styles. You know how we are. We're really protective over our scene in California.
So they're just doing their own thing.
They were doing their own thing, but they wanted to be a part of this, but they got pushed in such a way that it made them even go even farther because
like
they were being treated like they were just weird old white boys, you know? And I think
they're predominantly white, dude. The,
predominantly,
the
yeah. Dose is half Turkish, and there's some Asian
there
dudes.
Pedestrian?
Pedestrian's on there. He's a white dude.
Yeah, and then.
Not that none of that matters.
No, it doesn't matter. No, I'm trying to remember because I'm when I worked at Amoeba, I was like when their stuff came in, I would like because I recognized the logo, the ant, and I'm like, oh, this is another because they put a lot of music out.
They heavily influenced me, man. Like I was so into poetry and writing poetry as a kid. When I heard their stuff, I was like, their writing
obscure.
Is poetic,
yeah,
amazing, descriptive, mm-hmm, artistic. Mm-hmm. Breaking boundaries, like they just were so free, it seemed like, you know? They showed their vulnerability on their music, you know?
And that's something, I'm glad you brought that up.
It's
that's
like
something.
Most people that rap is such an egoic form of music that most people don't really show themselves in it. You know what I mean? They're showing,
it's almost the opposite.
They're only showing what they want
they
you to
want,
see.
Exactly, yeah.
And those dudes were showing who they were. There was a big difference. You know what I'm saying?
There is a difference.
Big difference. They weren't in competition with people. They didn't give a fuck. I mean, Dose is competitive. Like, Dose.
Well, dude,
he's a murderer. Them,
didn't he battle, like,
he battled
the
Eminem,
back?
Juice, all of
people
he's battled so many
that.
Fucking
I mean, this
people.
This dude was legendary. Like.
People don't even know how many people Dose put on. Dose put on probably some of your favorite fucking rappers.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Introduced people, put them on, got them on labels. Like, he never talks about this shit, but he was behind the scenes just cherry picking people and putting them in the right positions, man.
That's crazy.
And he's a good dude like that.
Dude, he's ahead of his time in a way.
Ahead of his time. And I think like he might actually get some recognition soon that he deserves.
I'm just happy he's still recording music, man. You know, that's dope that he's still putting out music and he's able
He'll
to
never
put out
stop.
Music.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, why would you stop? Johnny Cash didn't stop until he died.
I'm trying to talk seriously, and I'm wearing this on my face.
So, dude, I never laugh as hard as I do.
We're laughing so hard
when I'm with this dude.
We're trying to prepare for this episode, and I'm like, dude, just don't laugh. And he was trying to keep the Sharpie straight.
Dude, I'd never laugh to the point where you're not hearing a sound from me.
And I'm like, dude, you got to give me the mustache, dude. Does it look crazy? Is it still on here?
It is melting.
It is?
I thought that was permanent marker.
It's melting?
Yeah, it's turning your neck super weird looking.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so what kind of tattoo are you going to get there?
I don't know, man. I got to think about it.
Are you going to wrap it around your whole neck?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I'm just talking.
Something Korean?
Maybe.
Can you speak? You can speak Korean.
I understand it more than I can speak it, yeah.
Is it a hard language?
No, I think like Tagalog and Japanese, like there's other like...
Japanese is hard.
Chinese bro. Too sounds a little crazy, you know? Asian languages sound crazy,
it
bro.
It does, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Doesn't Vietnamese sounds pretty intense too,
it's
sharp.
I want to go check that out. I want to check out Southeast Asian countries.
Dude, I want to go too. If you go, so I might go to the Philippines to go see Free the Robots Chris in December.
Yo, shout out to them, dude.
Yeah, he opened up a bar in Siargao.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is one of them Filipino?
Asian? What?
Free the Robots.
There's only one, and you had him on your show,
that's
bro.
Right. Dude, I'm that OG now, bro.
You know how many people have said that to me, man? Have been like, oh, who's in Free the Robots? I'm like, just Chris.
And he's been here.
And he's been here.
He was probably in the first 100.
Yeah. Chris is a man,
dude,
bro.
This is crazy how long this has been. Yeah.
How many? What episode is this?
This is 306. You're 366, bro. Yeah.
Yo, so... What do you feel? How do you feel about stopping Scissor Bros and doing your own thing? What's
your goal?
I gotta
be very careful on how I answer this because people want to like kind of pick apart things and form their own.
But
narrative.
Just to be clear, it's there's no bad blood.
There's no bad blood.
I saw
cool.
you
no,
guys
no.
together.
No, no, yeah, we just went to In-N-Out. Me and Jeremiah went to In-N-Out Burger the other night. And
yeah,
I got him a milkshake. We're good. Yeah, it was just mostly. Me personally, I was getting stressed out. I was just personally getting stressed out for like just my head wasn't like I felt like
did you feel like you
I
were
felt
doing...
like it was just like it was like I gotta think of the right word like not tedious but
did you feel like you were more performing and putting
yeah,
on a show?
I felt like it was more performative and I'm more like
natural.
Like what yeah I'm more
yeah,
like
yeah,
this
yeah,
like
yeah,
just
yeah.
whatever comes you know what I'm saying
yeah.
like
you're naturally funny.
And
you,
like, Jeremiah's a great performer. Like, he's more on that tip where he's, you know, he acted like comedic timing. And because, dude, he's a phenomenal, like,
writer. And
no, just
organizer.
live, like, just crowd work and coming up with bits. Like, he's super
fast.
Oh,
dude, that was the first time I saw him live. St.
Yeah,
Pete
yeah, he's super
Comedy
fast.
Festival.
He's super fast on, like, on the spot.
Let's touch on this, though. Dude, this is the first time I ever saw you do comedy on stage like
dude,
that and it was a freestyle what was the name of that what do you call
it
that
it was stand up on the spot
yeah, which is just like freestyling
yeah and I had
in a cypher.
I hadn't done it in like 8 months or two, like I had dude I wasn't hitting up open mics
right
because I promised him I'm like dude like I was thinking about like dipping but I don't want to just leave you guys hanging and we had a business meeting like me Ryan and Jeremiah we're all there and I'm like I don't want to leave y'all hanging, so and then we like went through the calendar, and I'm like, I'll give you guys 2 months of just episodes of fully like, so I'm not dipping.
Right.
And I already like committed to that festival in Florida.
Right.
Just
right.
whatever, but in St. Pete, whatever. And I'm like, I'll do that, and then we'll do a final episode where we're like coming together to make it cool, you know,
yeah.
to make it like peace, like
right.
we're good. But I think, yeah, man, people are like,
so
people are saying like, oh, we're acting like, oh, it never happened. I'm not intentionally trying to do that. Like, no, like I fuck Scissor Bros, dude. I had a great time, dude. Like,
it
that
was a good
dude,
show.
Dude, that's some of the best memories I've had. Like, dude, just going on the road with him and opening for him and doing lot. Dude, it's like, in a way, it's like not trying to like call anybody out, but it's like, dude, we were doing a lot of those. Like live podcast things, like kind of more frequently than a lot of these even big fucking platform.
Before they were doing,
yeah,
it.
Man,
yeah,
we
yeah.
were doing like, yeah. So it's like, no, I had a great time doing it.
So what? what sparked that for you personally, that you wanted to do your own thing? You just want to focus on Stevie Weeby?
Yeah, it was mostly like I noticed, like, I was kind of tripping, like my mental health was like, I was like kind of tripping about, like, and I was just getting kind of, I felt like I was kind of getting burnt out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like, and I don't want to like ever do anything where I feel like, oh man, you know what I mean? I want to be up for it, you know?
I think it's such a slippery slope when people tell artists, like, you just have to be consistent and keep working through it, but you don't really produce your best art in certain moments where you're fucking stressed out and you're burnt out on shit. You know what I mean?
You went through that. I mean,
you're basically forcing the creativity.
I mean, imagine doing, like, you're doing like an EP or you're doing music and you're not completely feeling it.
Dude, I took a big step back this year.
But why would you put it out? But I, you know, like, you wouldn't put that out, right? You would, like, let's say you're just trudging forward, just, oh, fuck, I just got to do this.
No,
you know, that's kind of how I felt towards the end of it.
That's part of my creative process is if I felt good about it, even if it's imperfect, I can appreciate the imperfections because I really felt good about what I was doing at the time.
I could dig that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it doesn't always have to be perfect and polished for me. Because the shit that I like is not polished. I like.
So are we? Because we're talking about podcasting, and then we're using the analogy of writing songs, songwriting, right?
I mean, it's all like, a creative process.
Yeah. So that's art, a fair analogy.
Art doesn't have to be one specific thing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Art is art. It's a lot of different things.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But what I didn't realize is, and this is like my bad. I didn't realize because Jeremiah was hitting the road every week. Like, you know, he was. Because he's touring, he's doing shows here and there.
Right.
I didn't realize how much of an impact we had. Like, he said, like, he'd be on the road at a comedy club, and they'd be like, where's Stevie, you know? And, like, it impacted people in, like, pockets of, like, the
That's
States
cool,
and shit.
Man.
You know, which is cool. I didn't know, because I'm a hermit. I'm never leaving. I'm, like, you know me. Like, I'm, like, kind of in my own, like, little bubble and stuff.
I think it's safe to say now, too, that the whole world is visual people, you know, and like aesthetically that show looked pleasing to the eye, you know, the colors, everything about that show, like it's attractive, you know what I mean?
I mean, kids liked it too. It
puts you in a good mood seeing it.
And it was positive, bro. For the most part, it was a positive podcast, you know, like doing the scissors but I think people like really took it, you know, they took it personal and it wasn't personal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was personal in the sense that, like, me personally, like, I needed to take a step back, but I wasn't trying to do it to, like, hurt anybody or bum anybody out. But people took it that way where they're like, well, what about my mental health? Or, they're probably thinking, oh, he's not realizing that they relied on this on a weekly basis. Imagine someone, like, waiting for one of your songs every Friday morning. They're like, okay, I can't wait for the new Mestizo song. And then all of a sudden you just decided to stop. I mean, that would, you know.
On the flip side of that is that that's a lot of pressure on somebody to produce that much. It's like, I think your audience or any audience forgets that people are still people behind that camera. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. As far as this day and age of content.
Especially when you're a dude like you who's a real human being down to earth.
And the people think they know me. Just they think that that's me. Like,
yeah,
oh,
like you're always on comedy.
Time,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's
right,
picking his nose and picking his nuts.
And you're
and
not.
And you know me, dude. You know me, bro. Like, you really
this,
know who
this
I am.
This new generation of, like, comic or musician, it's like, they're in that to gain something out of it, like profit or attention
or clout
or fame
or
clout. And I don't think people realize about you that you're just not like that. You know what I mean? Like, that shit really could mean less to you. You take pleasure in what you're doing creatively. You know what I mean? And that's the big payoff.
And I
want to
have fun doing it. Like, I want
to
be
enthusiastic. Of course, you need to get paid
because
if you're going
to
continue to do it, you have to get paid.
Yeah.
It has to be a job in a certain sense, but I think it has to be more fun and creative and just help you progress your life positively in the creative space. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's a very important thing to touch on, you know?
I mean, you went through a similar thing with, like, the music collective.
Yeah.
You weren't back then. I mean, if, is it cool mentioning that?
That became a big, yeah, the Marquina stuff became a big.
You were in a collective.
It got big really fast.
So we'll at least tell them the name of your collective.
The Marquina Muerte collective that we had out here was coming up at the same time as Odd Future. And Odd Future was like my underling. So we were all coming up. It was the kind of the era of the cruise. So you had ASAP was coming up. The dude who did one of my videos did the Peso video for ASAP Rocky. It was his first video. Yeah, so it was like we were all shimp. Raider Clan was coming out. Makina was coming out. Odd Future was coming out. A bunch of other crews. The Suicide Boys shit was bubbling. It was just like era of the cruise. And it got out of hand fast. And it just couldn't sustain itself with all of our personalities. You know what I mean?
Like, how many cats were in Makina?
Probably like close to 50. It was big, but it was a collective of artists that were already had kind of a name for themselves, but weren't as big as they were when we were all under this umbrella.
Right.
So, you know, it's like you're never really prepared for that kind of shit if you're not in that headspace, you know, and I was in the headspace of being wild. My life is wild.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Oh,
my life
yeah,
is
yeah,
chaotic
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, my kids changed all that. So.
And then what were some of the highlights of, was it hard getting everyone together, putting out music?
No, I mean, it was fun, man. It was really exciting back then. But, you know, I've always wanted something more substantial out of life than just, like, partying. You know what I'm saying? I'm good at partying. I'm the best at partying.
No, but Makina was a crew, right?
It was a crew.
But y'all did, everyone
but we
did
were
music.
Rowdy, man. We were rowdy. We were known around L.A. as being rowdy. You
really?
Know, when Cadillac, rest in peace, Cadillac.
Yeah, rest
man.
In peace, Cadillac.
When he was alive, man, we were just, every show was a fight. You know, every show was chaotic. And
over,
I,
what would
it
be
was
over?
Fun.
What would it be over? Some of
I don't know, man. There was a night where we got into it with some gangbangers, and it was just like kind of a test of strength on both sides type of thing, you know.
Really?
Somebody talking to somebody's girl, and then it would just
Was it at
snowball.
A music venue? Was it like at Low in Theory or?
It would be at music venues that we were performing at. No. We always kept it away from Low End Theory because everybody really respected.
Oh,
I respected Daddy Kev heavily. Daddy Kev helped me so much, man.
Right.
Gas Lamp, all them dudes from D Styles, Elvin, all them.
Oh, D-Ski too. I got to get D-Ski on
there. D-Ski too.
I got to reach out to D-Ski. Shout out to D-Ski.
But, you know, the underground was bubbling.
Already? Oh, we're just getting into it. We're nerding out on this music stuff.
It's all right. We can close it.
Man,
I'm waiting for Danny Kim.
Yeah,
we could do this all day.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like we're just warming up in conversation too.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Yeah, man. So, well, since it's the last 10 minutes.
Oh, dude. So.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Shouts to Zach from Hands Made, who was gonna come down. Yeah. But
get better, bro.
Yeah, get yeah. better. Get healthy, better, bro. Zach. Ended yeah. up having to go to the hospital.
And he puts out some cool music, man. Right.
Hands Made right now. He's like the curator and the backbone to it. He made me co-owner out of nowhere of
Damn,
Hands Made, so I take it very serious. But he's putting out some very artistic stuff out of California, man. Oakland and L.A., you know. So this is our home turf, and Hands Made is where I'm putting everything out at, you know.
And
the new record's
all
coming
it's
out.
It's all vinyl, right?
He does vinyl, like, nonstop. And vinyl, dude, some of these dudes are making out, like, Ka, West Side Gun, all these guys are making vinyl, and it's like going for $600 a piece online.
For a piece of vinyl?
Some of it's going for $3,000. What's this dude's name? The Haitian dude that he's down
what,
with.
Dude?
I can't remember his name.
One record's going for that much?
They've made vinyl like a piece of
like
art.
Gold?
Because they're so into the streetwear scene, what they did is take the limited edition stuff and then turn it into the same model.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Because they mess with Virgil, too. Rest in peace, Virgil.
That's insane, dude.
Yeah.
So is there a website for
Hands Made
yeah,
Collective.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Handsmadecollective.xyz.
Say it again.
Handsmadecollective.xyz. And that's where you can find all of our stuff, Alpha, all of it.
What about your stuff, Pert Light?
It's all coming out on Hands Made.
It's all coming out through there.
Yep. All out through there. I got a couple other special guests on the record now that you mentioned Slug. I don't want to say those guys.
Oh, it's fine.
But shouts
yeah,
to
yeah.
Slug from Atmosphere. I love you, bro. You're the man.
Yeah. I was stoked that you even knew the guy. I'm like, oh, really? Like,
yeah, I've known him for a while, man. Him and Ant are good dudes.
Dude,
good
he's
dudes.
Still going strong. I mean, dude.
Yeah, strong.
I remember when I was working at Amoeba, and I'm like, I didn't know really who he was. And No. Me and the Relayer, we were in Echo Park, and it was Idea who was performing.
Rest in peace, Idea, too.
Yeah, and I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, who's this guy? You know, he had shaggy hair. I thought he was going to do rock and roll, but, dude, it was like one of those things where it's like when I saw The Far Side for the first time, when I saw Idea for the first time, I'm like, oh.
Was that the Knitting Factory?
No, Spaceland. Space
you and I Land. Were together when Idea was performing at the Knitting Factory. He was in the small room, and then we were about to perform, too.
Yeah, no. This was before then. I think this was at Spaceland. But we had some good times up there.
Good times.
Some good times up there at the Knitting Factory, dude. Some good times. Yeah.
Good times.
But I was like, I was taken back by his performance. I'm like, well, this guy's good.
Right on.
Yeah. Oh, but to bring it back to Slug was there too, and I'm like, who's this other guy? And I think Slug was like, I didn't know who he was, but I didn't know who was the headline. But I know they were kind of going back and forth. I'm like, oh, this guy's all cool too.
Yeah.
Like just go, yeah. So, but that's cool that, man, like, so there's a, so how do they best support Mestizo as far as like your art and like?
I don't know. I'm pretty inactive. I mean, I'm not consistent with social media except for Instagram. So you can go to I Am Mestizo and I'll post everything on there.
All right. Yeah.
Or YouTube, The Real Mestizo on YouTube. I'm going to start pushing way more content. I just had to kind of take a step back and figure out how I want to present all this stuff because I just don't want to deflate.
So what's the best way? Is it vinyl? Like, is that the best way now? Vinyl?
Vinyl and tapes. I mean, for physical merch, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it seems like the best way is like what you're doing. YouTube, Instagram. People want visual content. You know, you can just put your songs out on there and blow
something
up,
special.
You know?
Yeah.
But for the real fans that like to have something tangible, a piece of art, you know, you can hang it up.
I mean, especially the tapes. Can I plug my
Yeah, phone? Please.
So I have a few left. I got maybe two or three boxes left. Get yours today. I did the cover. Get your Kwangu Puer Eternos. Right there, dude. Clean. And lean. Get yours today. Okay? PayPal, Venmo, Quangou on my Instagram. And get it, because you might not be here tomorrow.
Right.
We might not be here tomorrow.
Hopefully you never know. You never know.
I love you, man.
Love you too.
Yeah. Help support the podcast, patreon.com/StevieWeeby. Shout out your Instagram again, dude.
I Am Mestizo. New record coming soon. It will be what it will be.
Dude, you
shout to James Hunt, my boy, muralist from LA.
Machine, bro.
He's
got
doing
a lot
the cover.
Of material you're about to put out.
There's a lot, yeah, man. I got a lot stored up. There's some
lot.
Crazy
there's
shit coming that
I'm sure there is.
I'm kind of hiding for the moment, but
really,
there's some bigger stuff coming. Some cool stuff coming.
Look out for that, okay? Patreon.com/TV. Yeah, and then, just support, all right?
Buy the tape.
Yeah, buy the tape.
Buy the Kwangu tape.
Yeah, buy the Kwangu tape. Stop, you know, support, you know? I'm not up in the hills or in a mansion, you know? It's like,
do you prefer Stevie Weeby or Kwangu?
I don't know, that's...
For me, it's Kwangu. Well, it's Kwan,
yeah, it's
you know?
Kwan. Yeah, let him know.
It's Kwan. That's Kwan. Yeah, when you see him on the street, that's Kwan. You call him Kwan, he'll look at you. Stevie Weeby, that's still foreign to me.
I still kind of trip out on it. Like, huh? Yeah. Like when I hear that, Stevie Weeby, I'm like, like, it's almost like I like
Yeah, right.
What's going on, dude? You know?
What if somebody calls you Kwan, how are you going to react?
It's more, it feels like home.
Okay.
You know, that's like, if I see, shout out to Malaka, like if Malaka,
or
if Thal I saw Hume. Malaka and he called me Kwan, I'd be like, oh, that's, you know.
Yeah, Kwaku.
Yeah, rest in peace, Kwaku.
Rest in peace, Kwaku, man. Miss you.
Hey, we're alive, man. We count your blessings, man. We're alive.
Got your hands, your feet, your breath, water, food, sun, shelter. What else do you need?
Let them know, man.
You need money, though. Gotta have money.
Hey, man, let's go hang out with DK.
Yep. Shouts to Danny Kim.
hiding in the crevices in the coral premises. In my Neverland, like Peter Pan, checking messages.
Time on this land, try cheating on the clock.